You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Sandy, here's another one. Trump administration moves to end union rights for federal workers, for many federal workers. He's going to take away, how can he take away bargain rights for these workers?
Remember Act 10?
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, I mean, but here's the deal. I mean, Donald Trump is doing things with executive orders that no one expects the Supreme Court to honor. For instance, this voting, his executive order on installing the voting requirements that the Republicans in Congress tried to pass and failed to pass. And now he's doing it by executive order. And the tool he's using is he's saying, look, states, if you don't follow this executive order, you'll lose federal funding. Well, this is once again the president using all the powers of the U.S. Government against any object that doesn't cooperate with his executive orders, which amounts to creating a gun to your head. So look, you're going to volunteer to do this. We're not going to require that you do this, but if you don't do it, we're going to take away your lifeblood. And so, you know, the Supreme Court is the entity that needs to stand up to this and say, you can't do this. You can't do it this way. If you want to implement voting regulations, do it through Congress like the Constitution contemplates. But, the problem here is that he is daring the Supreme Court to get in his way, and he's doing everything he can to create an environment in which he would chill courts from getting in his way, threatening impeachment. He's got Mike Johnson carrying water for him in that regard.
Do you have confidence that the Supreme Court will do the right thing? I don't.
I don't have confidence in all of the members of the Supreme Court. I think some of them are ideologues who are ideologically tied to something that is outcome-based, not process-based. But my hope is that John Roberts and maybe Amy Conan Bryant, maybe some of these people actually have a pure intellectual view of what the Constitution is and not an ideologically bent one that is bent in the direction of autocracy designed to implement policies rather than process. So the Supreme Court is supposed to be all about process.
So, Sandy, let's say in worst case scenario, they don't do the right thing. Where do we go then?
At that point, we're a banana republic, and I guess we go the route that banana republics went to get change. Most, unfortunately, it's a very unseemly process that usually involves the streets.
But the fact, Sandy, that we're at that point, right? I mean, that it's possible that what you just said can take place.
I do believe it's possible. I hope and pray that the Supreme Court will look at process and be neutral about policy with respect to political governmental policies. And I'm not sure they can be, I'm not sure they will be, but we're at a very vital turning point because process should matter because someone with a completely different ideological bent could grab a hold of all these same tools and try to implement them in the same way.
So happiness, some person who texts, I have zero confidence in the Supreme Court. I hope that President Biden would have changed the Supreme Court and added members and terms, but he didn't. You know, the problem with that, Sandy, is even if he had done it, Donald Trump coming in could have added even more and kept the imbalance in place, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, packing the court works until you've got, 462 people on the Supreme Court. But it's not a policy that is going to save the Constitution or save the country necessarily. I do think that the people of this country are ultimately going to be the ones who are going to have to resist, stand up, and see clearly what's happening. And once again, I want to make sure that people should understand that policy is one thing. Process is another. And if they embrace this process, they should understand the dangers associated with the process when they get turned on them. Everyone should look at what's going on and say, what happened if that happens? What would that be like if it happened to me?
All right, let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy, and thanks for this opportunity. As a protection of my mental health and all of this madness, I focus my daily attentions on the pro-democracy forces that are out there, civic media, of course, being one of them. The contrarian is focusing the light on our April 1st election and is going to be present here. And yesterday I listened to a one-hour Zoom by Public Citizen that is addressing the administration with its lawsuits. Robert Weissman and Lisa Gilbert, I am assuming, they're co-presidents, I'm assuming they're attorneys. And so they're focusing their litigation on three areas, one being shutting down of agencies. Number two is the administration's obtaining our data. The third is stifling speech. Now, Robert Weissman made a chilling comment, and he said that regarding Elon Musk, he said he's on a mission of destruction beyond any financial benefit to himself. That was pretty chilling to hear. And so lastly, they're very strongly encouraging us to get on this this April 5th nationally being organized. It's called mobilize.us/hands-off. You know, it's being organized throughout the nation. It's going to be present here in our area, and I would encourage everybody to, register for taking part of that. It's it's mobilize.us/hands-off. And Public Citizen site is citizen.org.
Hey, Mary.
Comments off the air, please. Thank you.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much for that information. You know, Sandy, the Department of Education, right? It's just one thing. It's a blitzkrieg. Everything, Sandy, they're not leaving one stone unturned in what they're doing.
No, I mean, like I said, every chapter of Project 2025 is in place and is in operation and is occurring. And, this is an organized assault. This is not disorganization. This is not Donald Trump arm waving. Like the first administration. And these are people who are using Donald Trump and his lust for power for their own purposes, to change things in the direction that they ideologically find important to them. And the end result of this is kind of horrifying. I mean, it's not from a policy standpoint. Whether we have a Department of Education or not is something that Congress is free to choose. And if they decide we shouldn't have it, then I guess we won't have one. But what we can't have is a process in which we have an authoritarian who makes decisions and implements them using all the tools of government for his personal assault on whoever it is that gets in his way. I mean, that game of whack-a-mole is almost indefensible, and we're finding that out. The people cower in the face of all the tools of government. What I hope is that the shift can be away from all of this stuff. I think this needs to be handled by lawyers, and it needs to be stopped in courts. But what we need to have is a party that starts talking to us about having policies in place that actually help us to work on our healthcare system, so that the healthcare system isn't the social problem that it represents for so many people. To have child daycare that actually supports our workers in getting into the workplace. These are policies and things that we need to be talking about. And we've had 3 months of total deflection, not one syllable spoken about the policies that are really important to the citizens of this country.
You know, Sandy, healthcare is only going to be worse when they basically gut Medicaid. You know, they're not making it better. Go ahead.
Medicaid is a social problem in that we don't have health care for all, so that if you're poor enough to qualify for Medicaid, when you become not poor enough to qualify for Medicaid but are still in the lower half of the income group in this country, you find yourself in a position where you can't afford the health insurance bill that's being presented to you, and you were kind of better off when you were on Medicaid. That's not a problem of the citizens who are relying on it. That's a problem that's created by the system we've put in place. And that's the system that we need to have talked about by our politicians and improve, because it's causing people not to get married so they can continue to qualify for Medicaid. It's causing them to realize that they're worse off if they get a modest paying job rather than the low income that they're currently suffering. I mean, these are things that people need to address, but it's not going to be solved by taking Medicare away.
Well, you know, Sandy, you know, my wife and I have been dealing with a special a mentally challenged young man.
Yeah.
Man, they're looking at taking away resources for people with mental health issues, Sandy. I mean, when does this stop? You know, when do people finally get the courage to say, hey, leave people who can't fend for themselves, please leave them the hell alone? You know, when does somebody stand up on Mount Everest and shout that down to the American people and say the only way this stops is you have to stop it? 855-752-4842. Phone lines are open. Guys, hang on. Sandy, we'll let you respond on the other side. We'll go to the phone lines. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, let me read this paragraph quickly, and then we'll go back to the phone lines. So Britt Baer, was interviewing Elon Musk. Well, is that an oxymoron? Can you actually interview Elon Musk, Sandy?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a strange dude.
Yeah, he is. So what's something that Britt Baer, what's something that people know about, don't know about President Donald Trump? And this is what Elon Musk had to say. "I think the president's a good man," Musk said. "I think he is an honest man, and I have yet to see him do anything mean or anything that's wrong that I would say is morally wrong, not even once." Do you think Elon Musk knows the definition of morality, Sandy?
I think they both work on the same playbook. I saw an interesting sort of a comedic approach to the reduction of regulations. And this guy, the comedian, said, you know, Donald Trump is reducing all the regulations, including the Ten Commandments. He said he's got it down to six. And so I think that's a good way to characterize their view of morality. It's their own addition.
Let's go to Brenda. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what?
Yeah, I wanted just to kind of echo what Sandy was just saying about them playing in the same playbook. This whole thing with Musk back in Germany just keeps getting buried and buried. But headlines like "Elon Musk endorses German far-right AfD in surprise." "Elon Musk calls for Germany to move beyond Nazi guilt." Okay? Just like this, just like Trump trying to split black and white people, when we get together and we protest, we need to stand elbow to elbow. Okay, our Latino brothers and sisters and those who feel in danger at these things, stay home. We'll take care of it. We'll carry the water for you. And I pray every night, and I'm not a real religious guy, that the people of Wisconsin will stand up and show Elon Musk it doesn't matter how much money he has. They're going to pick the right person for the right decision. Have a good weekend.
I think that's very well said, Brendan, but, I'm fearful as well. Let's go to Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning to you, Bill. You say what?
Our comment that I'd hear, like to hear your feed on. With the upcoming election with the Supreme Court and town halls being, you don't want to be a Republican and have a town hall now. It doesn't go good. I don't know if Brad Schimmel is going to win or lose. But if he does lose, Wisconsin has sent a clear message, Trump, stay out of our state. And it will send a message throughout the country that, thank God, the judicial system is the only thing protecting us from this 36-count convicted felon. What do you think?
Bill, let me ask you before you go, I don't know how confident you can be in that if, you know, you look at the map of the election of Donald Trump, and so much of it was red. I don't know if enough has happened yet for those people who, and I don't know why, what it's going to take for those people to realize we're going down the wrong road, man. Sandy?
Well, you know, Trump, you know, people thought he was joking about Canada. People thought he was joking about Greenland. People thought he was joking about there never being another election after 2024. But, you know, I don't think he was joking about the first two, and I'm afraid that he wasn't joking about the last one either, in his own mind at least.
You know, Sandy, and before we go back to the phone lines, your thoughts on this election, this Supreme Court, over $100 million. Let's say the Democrats lose. Let's say Brad Schimmel wins. They spent $100 million, Sandy, to try to win one Supreme Court seat. I mean, not just the Democrats total. But they spent, we could say they spent $50 million at least.
I think the Democrats spent as much as the Republicans. But what's awful about it is that that's the amount of money that apparently needs to be spent to elect a Supreme Court justice, which, you know, these campaigns 30 years ago probably used to cost $300,000. I mean, you know, there was it was people were spending money out of their own pockets and spending enough to get elected to the Supreme Court. And so this is just an outlandish, frightening thing, because it's a demonstration that it isn't just money in politics. It's very, very big money in politics. You know, Elon Musk has given $19 million personally to the Wisconsin political operation to back the Brad Schimmel.
You know, let's say the worst case scenario, and Susan Crawford, Judge Susan Crawford loses. I think you kind of break the spirit even more of people who vote, Sandy. Especially after those who voted and against Donald Trump, and now it would be almost more than people can bear.
Yeah, and like I said, the courts are the bastion of our Constitution. It's the bastion of process. And if we lose that, guardrail, we're toast.
855-752-4842. Sandy Windsor, my co-host, will come to the phone lines after this hiatus. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, the music is what AI told me was the best drinking music from bars around the country. And I, who knew? But I wouldn't have known. But we have, a power drunk president, and so I've got drinking music.
Sweet Caroline is still great drinking music, huh?
I guess it is. Yeah, it's great music. In any case, it's great basketball games and soccer games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Know. No, Brendan said this, and then we'll go to the phone lines. We must not forget this isn't a battle between left and right. This is a class war. Sandy, I think he's absolutely right. It's a class war. You don't think so?
Well, I know I think it is. I just think that class war tends to repel some people. It might keep people from joining in the process because it sounds like something you'd read in a manifesto. But I do believe that what we've got going here is the wealthy in control. We have an oligarchical kind of system that seems to be developing with very, very powerful people, powerful wealth. You know, and powerful wealth apparently can buy you the I just read just in the wire, the guy who was convicted and by a federal jury and sentenced to 4 years for fraud, the founder of this Nikolai truck company, just got a pardon from Trump. His lawyer was Pam Bondi's brother. And this guy happened to give $1.7 million to the Trump campaign last fall. And so now he gets a pardon from and Trump tells him that he was the victim of a illegal witch hunt. And really, what really amounts to is apparently white collar crime is a political witch hunt, because white collars don't commit crimes. They just get chased in a witch hunt.
You know, Sandy, you know, Brendan and what he said, you know, man, it certainly for all the world of me looks like, you know, the average American who struggles that doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell with the people who are where they are now, you know, making it through the next 2 years, let alone any longer than that.
Well, you know, there's no discussion. Like I said, there's been zero time spent by the administration talking about a single problem that is the problem of middle class and America, because middle class America needs to have its problems addressed, and reducing their taxes by a pittance is not going to address any of their problems.
Tom from LA, you're up, Tom.
Earl, Wisconsin has an opportunity to stop Elon Musk and Donald Trump and all of this, and I'm saying the word BS on purpose, on Tuesday. Get everyone out to vote. Vote for Crawford. Don't vote for any more BS. Brad Schimmel's telling you who he is by his initials. So does Brian Stiles. But I would honestly say you guys have the opportunity. It kind of started in Wisconsin with Walker, and it kind of started in Wisconsin with the Koch brothers and money in politics. Now Wisconsin has an opportunity to put down the hatch and actually start putting some sanity back to us. So please vote no on the amendment. Vote for Crawford. And please, please, please vote for Jill Underly. Or you know what? We're not going to notice what this country looks like. And Wisconsin is the start of it. That's why I listen every day to Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin.
All right, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Ollie. Good morning to you, Ollie. You say what?
I have several points to make. One is I understand that politics being politics and rules being rules, every radio station has to play politicians' campaign commercials, ads. But I just heard on your radio station that Trump has endorsed BS, and if we want to keep America great for Trump, we should, all people in Wisconsin should disregard Susan Crawford's left wing politics and vote for BS. And because I cannot be out protesting due to health issues, I want to protest on phone. I want everybody who heard that commercial to get up and protest as loudly as they can over the phone, over radio stations, and say that this is just not true. We heard in BS's own words that he is here to do President Trump's agenda. And we can all see what's going on in this country and what Trump and Elon Musk are doing to this country. And it is not an agenda that is for Wisconsin or Wisconsinites or even the United States of America. It's an agenda for Trump, Musk, and his billionaire cronies.
Let me ask you, Ollie, and I hope you don't take this in the wrong vein. You sound like a seasoned person who's been around a few times, and you've seen, you know, different presidents and different regimes. And is there anything that even comes close to what you are seeing now?
Yes, there is something that comes close. My dad was in the service for 22 and a half years. And We lived quite a long time in Germany, and we saw, and we lived near bomb holes, and we saw what Hitler did to Germany, and we learned at school what exactly happened during the war and how Hitler took over. And this is exactly the way it went. And Trump is taking over just like Hitler did. And if people do not stand up to him now, he will just roll over the whole of the United States. And whatever it takes, whatever way you can do it, you need to stand up to him. And I feel that when he chooses to advertise on a radio show that knowingly tries to put out the truth, and he chooses to advertise on that radio show and put out a lie, everybody needs to stand up and speak out when they hear those commercials.
Hey.
And this is my way of doing that, my way of protesting.
Hey, Ali.
And I also...
Go ahead.
I also want to give hope to the people of Wisconsin, because Pennsylvania had two special elections in their state.
Recently.
One of them was... Recently. One of them was a state senate and District 36. And it was a definite red state, red area, and the Democrats won two seats in Pennsylvania. And we can do that, too, by simply standing strong, standing firm, and standing up for Susan Crawford and Jill Underly.
Hey, Ali, thank you very much for those, emotional words. Sandy? You know, here's a woman who lived elsewhere and saw some things that most Americans have not seen, right? Those of us who've been born here. And she's alarmed.
Well, that's the thing. I think people in this country need to realize that the process is so important and that the courts are the ultimate bastion of the protection of process. And the fact that from an ideological standpoint, people have found a way to raise $100 million to contest a Supreme Court seat in the state of Wisconsin demonstrates how important the likes of Donald Trump and Elon Musk, the importance they place on controlling the courts so that they can carry out their agenda. Because ultimately, it's the courts who will put a rein on executive power.
So, Sandy... $100 million in the state of Wisconsin, there are going to be Supreme Court races all over the nation. And these, so you just stated how critically important those seats are. And so maybe most of us don't see it from that national. You kind of wonder, hey, this is Wisconsin, one Supreme Court seat. You know, one by one, is that how they have to capture it?
Well, you know, if you're interested in gerrymandering congressional seats so that you can control Congress, and if that gerrymander requires the Supreme Court to give its imprimatur to it, then you want to control the Supreme Court. And, of course, they found out when they lost control of the Supreme Court, they lost control of the districting in the state.
Right.
Just a year. And they're back. They're back now to try and make sure that doesn't happen again and that they can reverse it. So that's how important it is for these people to accomplish their agenda. And what's interesting to me is this talk about culture canceling when we have an agenda from the right, which involves actually canceling people and businesses who have the temerity to disagree, you know, just to disagree.
Yeah, you know, it's Sandy, it is, as I said before, it's frightening because they've gotten this far in such a short period of time. Hey, it's only been a couple months. But maybe if we look at it from that perspective, Sandy, then we don't see it from the perspective that you've been talking about for a long time, and that's the plan that they had in place before Trump got there. So is it, this is not just something that sprang up in 2 months.
No, I mean, the plan, the Project 2025 was a plan to use executive power beyond the range that it had ever been used before to accomplish things instantaneously. There you go. It's happening.
All right, 855-752-4842. Looks like those on the phone, Tums, are going to be controlling the show. We got a lot of Tums lined up. We'll come back to you guys on the other side. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you on the Earl Ingram Show. Where it began, I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, let's get to the Toms. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Two things. One, apparently Musk is coming to Wisconsin very soon. He's going to hand out
$1 million
right. checks. Yep. To people who signed that petition for him. So wouldn't it be beautiful if we could get a good opposition group there to protest that? Even though I looked it up online, I cannot see, find out where it is yet. The other thing is, talking about Trump and Greenland and all that, what is the real end game? I mean, he talks about how Russia is... you know, we got to defeat Russia. We got to protect ourselves from them. We got to protect ourselves from China. Yet he's buddies with all of them. So what is the real end game here?
Tom, thank you. Sandy, you want to try to touch that?
Yeah, I think the end game is this what they call this hegemonic view of the world, which means sort of an empire view of the world. I think Donald Trump thinks the Western Hemisphere, the northern part of the Western Hemisphere, at least, is his. He believes that I think that the old Soviet empire is Russia's, and that China has its hegemonic sphere as well, and that these guys who control countries, these strong arm guys, can sit down at a table and divide up the world and have what they would call world peace, which means really peace at the expense of all the small countries that are. Dwarfed in size and scale and in power by these large empires.
Yeah, but
it's a return to what used to exist in the 19th century.
But Sandy, he's not equal to those other guys. He only gets 4 years. They can be there forever. How does that make any sense?
That's why he talks about more.
Oh,
right. He wants to be a part of that club. That's the club he wants to belong to.
All right, let's go to Tom from Richland Center. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, everybody. I just want to mention a little reality check. In 2009, we had the assembly. The Democrats had the assembly, the Senate, and the governor, and did not pass a Iowa-style redistricting law on purpose because they thought they were going to get to gerrymander in their favor. And that's exactly what happened, and I was on the inside enough to know that's true. And as a matter of fact, Schultz was our senator out here. And there's a whole lot about him that I dislike, but he actually went into the governor at the time and said, why don't we set up this thing to make it fair, because I know this stuff's coming down the line. So all I'm saying is our good old Democrats, we got to vote for them and work for them, and then we've got to make them do the right things, because they a lot of times have their own interests, like collecting the same money that the Republicans are. So power of the people, you know, we can't subjugate our will to even the Democrats. We've got to do it ourselves.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to that?
Thank you. Yep.
Well, I think he's right. I think the people are frustrated because neither party has delivered for them. Parties have delivered for their own interests or for the interests of K Street or lobbyists or whatever. And so, you know, that's the actual problem that Donald Trump is now exploiting with bringing a new form of government, promising to do a great deal. Of course, that new form of government is a authoritarian government.
You know, Sandy, many years back in you early in your and my connection on these airwaves, you kept talking about Democrats and Republicans and that you thought it was time that the two-party system be changed. You remember those conversations you used to have? What are your thoughts now?
Yeah, I do. I still think that. I think that one way to make parties more responsive is to make them more particular in the interests they represent, so they are responsive to the particular interests. And yes, that means we end up with coalition governments. But what we have now is a strange form of coalition that needs to be formed to try to elect one of two candidates, and the coalitions are basically created by the media. And through processes that I think rob the American people of direct input.
So I thought at the time that you were saying that it was, pie in the sky thinking. But to be quite frank with you, watching what's taking place now with one man being able to take over the government, maybe it's not pie in the sky thinking anymore.
Yeah, because he's got a party that his when you have two parties, all you have to do is take over one of those parties and potentially take over the country in the process. That's what he's done. He's taken over the Republican Party. He's made it his party. It's not a party that represents the interests of anyone but Donald Trump. He's got them cowering, and so now he's taken over the country with that party, and now we're facing the consequences.
All right, tomorrow. Join us, Rally for Democracy, Democratic Party of Racine. Party of Racine.
Sorry.
County and Racine Resistance Groups, Saturday, March 29, 2005, 10:30 a.m., Racine Monument Square, 6th and Main Street. Gwen Moore, Greta Neubauer, Angelina Cruz, and others will be there. Sandy, thank you as always. Thank you, Cardi. Up next, Jane Matinette, Greg Bach. Enjoy a 70-degree weather.
Call for alcohol, so finish your whiskey or beer.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.